living God, just, renewing, righteous God, we give you thanks for your presence. We give you thanks for that fire that burns away the dross and refines the gold. That burns away the dross and refines the gold. Amen. Well, this morning, in our lessons and in the psalm, we've got a lot of law. We've got a lot of law. If you were listening, you had to squirm a little bit. There's no way you didn't squirm. In fact, some of us probably heard someone was like, yeah, I don't know if I did that, but then it zeroes in on us too. A lot of law this morning. Moses stands on the plains of Moab. They've come out of Egypt. They're about to go in the promised land. And he says, choose life or choose death. This is where the rubber meets the road. Moses says, God has saved us from Egypt. He's given us so much. We did not earn any of it. Now how are you going to live? You follow that pattern? God's given us so much. Now, how are you going to live? He wants to live with us. And this is what it looks like to live with him. God's shown us, Moses says. He's given us his righteous law. He's given us the Ten Commandments. It wasn't because we did the Ten Commandments that we earned a relationship with him, but now we do know what life with him looks like. Moses stands there on the plains of Moab and he says, choose life or choose death. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, Moses says. And by that he means to live with God according to God's commandments. So that, he adds, you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. But that's not all we get this morning. We've also got a gospel lesson where we hear Jesus laying it on really thick. And at no point, do not be deceived, at no point is Jesus being hyperbolic. Say more about that in a minute. Most of us, if we're paying attention, most of us probably get a little catch in our throats. Jesus doesn't just inveigh against murder and adultery. Wow, oh gosh, yeah, I didn't kill anybody and I didn't cheat on my wife. Awesome, I'm cool. No, he goes deeper. He drills down to the heart. Drills down to the heart. And again, I imagine some of us in our pride say, I've never done that. But keep reading. You'll be found guilty of some other law. Guarantee it. What's the line we so often hear at confession from John's epistle? If we say that we have no sin, we're in denial. If we say that we have no sin, we deny the truth. We're lying to ourselves. Everything's fine. I'm a good person. Yeah, okay. There's three short points I want to make this morning in light of these lessons. Three short points. And I want to be very direct. First, a relationship with the living God. A relationship with the living God does not come because you did all these things in the first place. And then God says, okay, I'm ready for you now. Like you allured God. It's actually quite the other way around. That's not the biblical story. That's not the biblical paradigm. God reaches down to Abraham when he's not suspecting it. God reaches down to the people who are in captivity in Egypt. They don't meet him halfway. God saves them when they could not save themselves out of his sheer mysterious love. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. Not because of anything you did, just because of his sheer love for you, for who you are, that he made you, and he loves you no matter what. And it is that simple. First point I want to make is we have a loving God. We have a loving God. Sheer mystery. Second point, can't stop there, else that would just deny everything we just read. Second point, once in a relationship with God, it's imperative to understand that God is renewing the world in Jesus. And being in a relationship with God means, well, things have to be different now. If you marry someone, and that, by the way, is the consistent metaphor that God uses with his people in the Old Testament. If you marry someone, life changes, right? Honey, I'm going out to the bar tonight. You know, maybe meet somebody new. No, you're not. No, you're not. You live with me now. You're my one and only now. Being in a relationship with God means things have to be different now. Come as you are. Come as you are. But do not expect not to be changed. By the way, let me say a little more about that. You will be changed. It's not maybe you'll be changed. You will be changed. Once again, we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Come as you are, but do not expect not to be changed.
There are only so many offenses.
God says, you're with me now, and things are going to be different. Come as you are, but don't expect not to change. Don't expect that God has nothing to say about how we live, what we do with our money, what we do with our bodies, what we do with our time. How we treat others. How we treat others' bodies. How we treat others' money. How we treat their time. Come as you are. Do not expect that you will not be changed. Third, God's law. When we hear lessons like we heard today, God's law, it has two purposes. Two purposes. When we hear God's law, two things happen. And they happen in a particular order. And this is actually really important to get. First, when we hear God's law, what God is doing is God is holding up a mirror. And he's letting us see who we are. He's letting me see who I am. He's revealing to me my need for his grace. And we see the truth, that creepy feeling that I was talking about earlier, when we're honest about our failures, or to put it more directly, our sins. We flee then to a Savior. The law drives us. When we hear God's expectations for us, we're driven to a Savior, and Jesus is ready to forgive. The law drives us to a loving and gracious Savior who is radically, shockingly, more than we would ever expect, who is radically and shockingly willing and able to wrap his arms around you and around me and forgive each one of us. Now, the distortion of the gospel is you're a sinner, so stay away. And if you don't think that happens in real practice, come hang out in the church office for a while. Ben and I, sometimes we cry because we know that there are folks who are having troubles and challenges and they're staying away from church because they think they have to be perfect to be here. That's not the gospel. The gospel is come, sinners, and find that gracious Savior. We were talking about examples of this past week.
If you haven't quoted Allstate lately, it's the perfect time. Get a quote today.
Marriage is on the rocks. I better stay away because I don't want to be embarrassed. Having trouble with my kids. I better stay away because I'm embarrassed. gospel is this. Come. Come. Jesus wants to forgive and renew and heal. The law drives us to a gracious Savior. And there we find grace. Now there's one more thing the law does. This is important too. The law doesn't just show us our need for grace. The law of God also gives us the actual content of what new life with God looks like. When Jesus said all these things, when he talked about not just adultery, but the state of your heart, state of my heart, when God talked about, when Jesus talks about murder, and not just murder, but the state of your heart, do you hate another? He wasn't just being hyperbolic, I mentioned that earlier, in order to drive us to the gracious Savior. He could have said, well, you know what, I want you to jump over a skyscraper. That alone would have said, okay, well, I need a gracious Savior to do that. Okay, fine, I was just joking, I wasn't being really serious, you don't really have to jump over a skyscraper. And in fact, if you read the Gospels carefully, sometimes the apostles would have wished that he asked them to jump over a skyscraper. That would have seemed more realistic to them than some of the things Jesus lays out. Not hating in your heart. Not lusting in your heart. Jesus isn't being hyperbolic. He really does mean for us to have these kinds of marriages and these kinds of hopes and dreams and love for other people, especially our brothers and sisters. So yes, the law drives you into a gracious Savior, but that's not all it does. In Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life, my life, your heart, your mind, my mind is changed. The law does these two things. It drives us to the Savior, but then it gives us the content that we will be the folks who forgive, that we will be the folks who don't knock the enemy down, but instead love the enemy. When the apostles heard that, they kind of wished Jesus just said, well, couldn't I just jump over a skyscraper? You really want me to love my enemy? The law doesn't just drive us to a gracious Savior. It shows us the actual content of what life with God looks like. Jesus' explication of the law that we have in the gospel lesson, his deepening of it, again, it's not just hyperbolic to get you to trust him. If that was the point, he could have just said, jump over a skyscraper. He is showing us what new life with God really looks like. More than we can ask or imagine. Jesus does want new hearts and new minds for us, new desires for you, new desires for me. So this morning as we come to the table, as we come to the Eucharistic feast, I invite myself to know that our relationship first with God is based on an unearned love that God has for us, not because of anything we did. We have a gracious God, number one. Second, that God does have an expectation for our lives. Come as you are, but do not expect to be not to be changed. And then thirdly, we have a just and renewing God. Let me say all that one last time. We have a loving God who reaches out to us, not because of anything we've done. We have a gracious God. We have a just and renewing God. A God who brings fire to us to burn away the dross and renew and refine the gold. I speak to you this morning in the name of that loving, gracious, and renewing God. Amen.